Okay, today's daf is daf nun, and we are end of the shiur last time. Says Rav Bava says Bishram Yochanan late kan shelo ella kan shelo rather you read shela, which was that if the perot the mechubrim lekarka, this is in the again we're discussing a case where it's shomer yavam, she's waiting to do yibum, and the brother if he does yibum will inherit the property. And the question was regarding what's the status of the property in between. And we said if it's tlushim, and because again if he did when he does yibum, if he does yibum, then it will there'll be a lien on the entire late brother's estate for the ketubah. That's what we'd said before. Okay. And we said that any Purim Mechubin Lakarka, they are considered, we said that they're really Shelah, changing the gears of the Mishnah from Shelot to Shelah, that's what the Gemara says. We said, Ella Hayda Mila, what's this for? She'im Kadami Yoresh v'tafas motzim yado. That if the Yoresh tried to cut, if you like, the fruit from this tree or the produce that's ready to be cut. In other words, because he wanted to make, because once it's detached from the ground, it's not meshubad ketubah. We say, I'm sorry, it was shela, and therefore he would go motzi miado. So we said the Gemara effectively now asks or states, but it's really asks. Reb Chaim says, af ba'al chov ken. We have a similar situation with the ba'al chov and a yoresh, because again, with when it comes to the yerusha, there might be a lien if like he's able to take it from the. From the estate, the money's owed to him. But if it is if the Yorish comes along and cuts it, the question was, do we also motzi miyorish? Because again, once a fruit cuts, it's metabolin, they don't get it, but it was attached to the ground, what's the din? So the Gemara says, Lo ken tani yoresh u bal chov shekada mechat mehem v'tafas. Here we say ein. Insert the word ein motzi miyorish, Reb Chaim says. Also the Korban says, I think makes this change as well. But it seems to be different. That we if he cut it, then we don't want him. The Balchov can't take it away from him. Now the Gemara says, "So Amrav Acha Bar Ula Nishmin Mahadi." Listen from the following. Now we have to have patience here to see how this all fits together because it's a bit of a the sugya like builds up till we get to the point. The end point we're going to see is what's the difference basically. What's the difference when it comes to the Isha for a ketubah? If the Yorishim try and take that which was still attached to the ground, we say Motzi Mi'adam, and when it comes to Yorish, Ein Motzi Mi'adam. That's the end point we're trying to get to. Let's have a look. Oh, we'll address. So the example is as follows: Kedish tishim maneh, let's say someone's makdish 90 maneh, and there's a chov, or in other words, already a lien on the property to of 100 of 100, which is far more. So even if it's more, so in other words, even if the chov is greater than the amount that was the person's makdish, we say mosif od dinar. What he should do is he should add even a 1 dinar or poder nechasim halalo, and then he can redeem it. So there's a few points if you'd like to add here. One is that why does he have to mosif a dinar? Meaning, because the assumption of the Gemara is really at this stage, there since there's a lien on the property, he had no right to makdish it. The problem is we don't want to say that hekdesh can come out of hekdesh without any pdia, because it appears he was makdish it. So therefore you mosif a bit. Now, why is it if that if makdish it doesn't work? Because normally we say elsewhere, hekdesh motzi miyadei shibud. That if someone's makdish something, it almost is more powerful than the lien that was there, and then it would work. So why in this situation not? Reb Chaim brings two different explanations. One is either because it's karaka. When it comes to land, which is what we're discussing, then it's already kibui. We already assume it's already in the hands of the person that it's owed to. Or alternatively, we say it kedushat damim. If we're dealing with kedushat damim, then einu mafkia. No, it's just makdish the value, and it wasn't turning into a korban. So there's two different ways what's happening. But in a sense, what's happened is we're saying at this stage there was a lien on it; it belonged to him, and therefore it couldn't really be makdish it. But meaning when it belonged to him, meaning to the creditor. But we don't want it to. We don't want the issue of appearing the hekdesh something comes out of hekdesh without any pity on it at all. So we say just simply, you the creditor add a small amount, even one dinar, and that would be sufficient to say now you can take it. Even though it's not a full redemption, because it doesn't really need a redemption. That's the point. So the Gemara now says, but also if the other din doesn't have to be in dinar, which is not the smallest of coins, it's a significant coins. Ela filu kosher, even the smallest amount, even a shavei puta, shloik tishni rei yotze belo pidyon. So it doesn't appear, as we explained, the hektish is it's leaving the property of hektish without any redemption. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Aval says, b'shem Rabbi Yochanan, mo'elin me'ila gmura. This is going to be a kasha at the moment, but his statement is that prior to the redemption, there would be an isu me'ila associated with it. So the Gemara doesn't understand. What are we even talking about? Bakasha. First point is, if you're saying it's a full me'ilah applies, it's considered hekdesh, then shaveh, then you wouldn't be able to just use a shaveh putter to redeem it, because you're saying it's full on hekdesh. If it's full on hekdesh in me'ilah, then you should have you do a proper redemption. Im eino nifter b'shaveh, and if it's not, if anyone, pardon me, if you don't have to redeem it, shaveh v'shev, you can just use shaveh putter. That means that really it's not hekdesh. It's only a token amount so that it doesn't appear that it's coming out of short hekdesh, but like for nothing. So therefore, lo yimala gmor, there should be oila doraisa. So how do we work with these two components? One is that you just need a shaveh putter really just to redeem it. The other one is saying it's oila gmor before you do redemption. So the Gemara says, well, let's try and work what we're talking about. Mana kaimi, what are we dealing with? If you're talking about something that's mechubala karaka, something that's attached to the ground, or karaka itself, v'chiyash mila b'karaka, do we say that their mila applies to land? No, it doesn't. We learn this from Truma, Gezeirah Shabbat Chet Chet, that you don't over an isma mila if you like, for example, someone makdish land and someone uses a land, he's not over an isma mila. Ela kenayim kaimim, and it can't be talking about something that's completely detached, because if it's completely detached, there's no shibud on it. So therefore, we must be talking about kin ayin and kaimim b'kama. We're talking about fruit that is, or produce that is omdim lekatzer, that's ready to be cut, which is exactly the discussion we've been talking about. And now you can see how this is slowly tying back to where we've been dealing with. So it says, Machar she ilu avara gizbar v'tafas ein motzi me'ado. If the gizbar came and was tofes, meaning he took that kama, you don't take away from him. So what does this mean? Let me read Reb Chaim here, because it needs a little bit of work, because it's kind of like an in-between position here. He says that if the gizbar comes and takes and cuts the kama, then it's not there's no shibud on it. It's not really considered as if it's collected anymore, because he said the land is considered kabui. In that situation, you now say hefka. The odd, and alternatively, another answer, you'll see why this is true in a moment. But once it's cut, it's in a metal. There's not. There's no lien on it for a balchov. That's why Chayil Me'ilah, the full Isra Me'ilah, applies to what? To this Kama that you have that's Oli Katzer, that's fit to be harvested. Why Sheyesh Lehekdesh Tfisabe? Because there is a legal way in which you can come into the Shul Hekdesh entirely, which is if the Gizbar is Makdim and Katzer. Okay, mikom makom, nonetheless, sagi pidayon. Why then isn't sufficient just to do a pidayon of a koshuhu? That is because b'devar, because if the gizbar didn't cut it, and the Baal Chov comes and tries to take it for his debt, to love kodesh, it wouldn't be kodesh. Umata ain din pidayon ela kodesh loy nira hekdesh pidayon, and therefore that's why in that situation, since it wouldn't be in Rashut Hekdesh in that sense, because if you took it straight away, therefore that's why that's why it's only in a token amount. You do see, however, if the gizbar would have come in and cut it, that taking it would have worked, and to lafkia the shiabud, to remove the lien from the tama, so, even though it's afshekfare, even though it was, if you like, there was a shibud on it while it was still attached to the ground. Right, that's what it's like the interesting intermediate position we have when you're dealing with something that's really katzer. But you see that what that if the gizbar took it, it would, it's enough to remove the lien. So the Gemara says, "Hu gizbar, also hu yoresh. Ma gizbar avar gizbar petafas ein motzi meado. Just where the gizbar comes along and is tofes." We say in Motzi Me'ado that it's there's no longer a, it becomes hekdesh, and no longer he was mafkiyah the lien that was on it, the shiabud. So to the yoresh, yoresh avara yoresh v'tafas em Motzi Me'ado, also the yoresh. So we're seeing here, by the way, if the yoresh comes in a situation of Baal Chov and he takes the and he cuts the kama, then it's Motzi v'shiabud as well. But again, we're building to the point, we're not there yet, of why is it different with the Ketubat Isha? Because by Ketubat Isha, we said if the Yorushim come and try and take, we changed the Megillus in the Mishnah, we said Shelah, that Motzi Me'adam if the Yorush tries to take the Kama. Still, we're not there yet. We've got a little bit more to get, a bit more of a journey to get to there. Because Rav Shmuel, says, B'shem Rabbi Yochanan, Af B'shor ken. What's B'shor? If B'shor Shehizik, for example, a Tam, and you're going to be taking the the compensation from the gufo as well. What would happen is, what if the person is makdish the shor? So in that, what do we say? We say that the person who is meant to be collecting his compensation from the shor itself, we say, oh, simply it's just mosif dinar, and that's fine. So again, it doesn't look like it's leaving the Rishon of Hekdesh with for nothing. So the Gemara says, what are you talking about? The kasher is, how can you compare the case of a shor to karka? Karka, we said, since it's land, it's already considered kigabui. It's already considered collected. But shor, an ox, it's metatlin. How can you say it's already considered like it's collected without being physically collected? So how can you say then that the mazik, it's if really it's his, and therefore you only have to give a small amount to pay the hektish in order to take that, to be compensated? So Gemara says, actually, the case of a shor is slightly different. So the Gemara says, Rav Tachu Mari b'shem Rav Yosei, shor asa oto kehektish shehizil. Chachamim treated the case of a shor like hektish that went to be that the value went down, shehizil. Why? In other words, as if, in other words, you've been put at shovi, but the shovi is like next to nothing. In other words, we have to understand two pieces here. One is Chacham will make in this situation because the person can only be compensated from the shor itself, not from anything else. So if we say the hektish worked completely, the nedach, the guy, doesn't get compensated. But number two, then what on basis of what mechanism can we be makil? The mechanism is that generally b'dieved, we say if someone's you can put a hektish lo b'shivyo. So based on that, they can rely on, they can be makil in the case of a shor. Now back to our question, of which I said we should be patient to address. It says, Hacha ata amar motzim yado. So what's this? I don't understand. Why not? Why, when we're discussing the Mishnah, we say if the Yorshim try and take the pair of the Mechumra and the Karka, we say Motzimi Adam, because it effectively already goes to the Isha. And here, by the case of Hekdesh, by the case of the Yoresh, we say that it's Mafgir the Shibud, and the Baal Chol doesn't get to take from the fruit, the Kama that was cut. The Gemara says, Lafisha, here ata kochat shel Isha. Shelok tehek tubata elo menichzei ba'al rishona. In other words, since in the case of this, again, we were discussing Yeshua Yabam, where her ketubah is only, if you like, is limited to the assets from her first husband that passed away, and if the guy does Yibum, the ketubah is on that, so that's considered a weakening of her position. We don't say that, oh, the husband, like husband now, the Yabam who did Yibum, you have to fit the bill. No, it'll come from the whatever's left over from the late brother's estate. Since it's Hurata Kocho, Chachamim strengthened her position in this situation, that if the Yorshim try and take from that limited supply of assets, stuff that really should be hers, we so it doesn't remove the lien. Like the Kama that was there is Shelah, to use the Lashon of the Mishnah. Okay. Now, so Vatani Ken as well, Ilanot the Katzatzot. Ilanot the Katzatzot here refers to that the Yorshim cut them down. Zkenim v'ne'arim, what's that referring to? Reb Chaim says it's referring to Avadim ne'arim, so that she had servants from the husband's estate, right? Husband number one's estate that died. And they were old, and the Yorshim took them, and they got, so they were young, and the Yorshim took them, they seized them, and they got old. We don't say now that it's because it was a shinui they get to keep it. No, we say despite the fact it was a shinui, we're making efforts to protect this woman and motzim yada. That's like support that we do, if you like, extra little things to try and look after her. Okay, that was that Mishnah. That's not the next Mishnah. Halachi with Aleph. Lo yamar la harek tubatech monechet lech al shulchan. This Yabam can't say, oh, here I'm going to be yached this amount of the estate for you, and then I'm going to enjoy everything from the late brother's estate. So rather we say all the assets, if you like, from the brother that passed away is achrin l'ktuba. And similarly, v'chem lo yamar adam. I'm not sure if you have this, but the osvara is in brackets. It makes sense that even in a case of a normal marriage, a man cannot say to his wife, "Oh, here I'm setting aside your ktuba. It's over there." But rather, all his assets are achrein l'ktuba. Meaning, if he then goes up and sells land and doesn't have any money, she can go and say to other buyers, "Excuse me, that land existed. It was sold after my husband promised to give me this ktuba, and I have a lien. There's a lien on it." Okay. Girsha. However, in the case of the Yabam that he divorces her, ein la el ktuba, then she gives her ktuba, and the brother, the Didibum, can enjoy the rest of the assets. Hichzira, if he then remarries a harei kuchola nashim, there's like any other nashim v'yesh la ktubah matayim. Now, the reason that we're not going to discuss exactly what we're talking about, but normally we say that if someone divorces a woman and remarries her, the remarriage is al ktubah rishona. So you might think, therefore, if the Yabam divorces her, so he does Yibum, divorces and remarries her, you might think that, oh, it goes back to like it was, Al Ktubat Rishonah, and that Ktubat Rishonah was from husband number one. So it'll go back all of those assets. So since to be here, no Yesh Laktubah, meaning it's like a normal marriage, as if she's now married this the husband number two, and we would have to give her a proper Ktubah, and it'll be on a lien on all of his assets. So let's continue. It says, Lo Yamar La Harei Ktubatich. Mara says, Ketzah. So what this means is, what happens if this Yabam wants to actually make use of these assets? So, when the assets he inherited from the brother passed away as a result of him doing Yibum. So he can does Yibum, he divorces her, and Machzir, and then remarries her. And she writes him a shover ktubata, could be writes him a receipt for the ktubah. What does this even mean? So what's the necessity of the receipt? So Amar Rav Yossi, let's start in here, Matnita. No, it's two cases really. Either divorce or remarriage, like we said in the Mishnah, and then it's like as if all the assets from the brother passed away, he's able to enjoy, and it's as if it's all on you, and gives her a ktubah. Or shover la ktubata. Or even if he doesn't divorce her, there's two ways to understand it. Reb Chaim says either she almost like collects a ktubah and signs it of some way and writes him a shovar, or she simply writes him reshut kotevet lo that he's able to go and sell the assets. She gives him reshut to go ahead and do so. That's two ways of explaining. That's what Reb Yossi is saying. However, Reb Zira says b'shem Rav Hamnuna kansa v'girsha v'chzira. If he again does Yibum, divorces her and remarries her. Oh, it's I mean only if he adds something from his own to the ktubah, then it's on the chasav. Otherwise, it is indeed like anyone who married, divorced, or remarries, it will be al ktubah rishona. So what we see here is Rabbi Zeira b'shem Rav is cholek on our, well, not the Mishnah, but on our understanding of the Mishnah. That simply, if he wants to make use of the assets completely, he just divorces and remarries her. Because here we're saying it's oh that if he just divorces and remarries her, it's back to like it was before he divorced her. It's kavod rishon. Now he won't be able to touch the assets as a lien on the entire estate of brother number one. So therefore, it's only if he's mechadish something. However, im lav, if not, al nechse bala rishonah about bala rishon. It's like on the lien of the brothers. Now it's interesting here. Reb Chaim cites this, that there's like a machlokes rishonim here. Is what? What are we referring to? We're talking about where he paid her out the ketubah, or only if he didn't pay out the ketubah in the intervening period, right? That's a bit of a machloket there. However, again, we must be understanding our Mishnah is talking about when it says hichzira harei zecholanashim is only if we added something in. Okay. Now the Gemara says Rav Yossi bar Bun b'shem Rav Chista matnita amar ken amagrei shitav hichzira amalak ktubata rishona hichzira. Meaning, so before we get soft of our, so once again, this is based on the principle we said, if someone divorces a woman and remarries her, it's based on the original ktubah, it's not like it's something anew. Now the Gemara says, Tov da ad shikanes v'yigeresh v'yachzir. What are we talking about? Are we only talking about when he divorces her and marries her? That's when we say ktubah is on his reshut? Meaning, the Gemara says, no. Even if he didn't divorce her, even if this yabam innovated and added something and did something chiddush to the ktubah, it would be on his nechasim. We're just trying to say deruba. You've got rava here, but it's like deruba. The chiddush is atalameh filu kansa v'girsha. Even if he marries her and divorces her, he does yibum, divorces her, and then remarries her. In chidesh la ktubah, if he innovated something, then ktubata al nechasav. But im lav, if not, ktubata al nechse bal rishon. So what's a chiddush? Is the chiddush is that you might think if he divorced her, remarried her, it's like a whole new thing, like we had thought to say initially. So the chiddush, the reason that what it's saying, trying to say, even if he divorced or remarried her, it would only be considered a ketubah on husband number two's nechasim if he innovated something. Added something. Mosif chidesh la ketubah. Korbanet says chidesh is im hosif ala ketubah rishonah. Right? He added something. Okay. Let's continue. Rav Zira says, "B'shem Rav Hamnuna, arusa shemeta ein la ktuba shlo hutra li nesa l'shuk." So that is because, if you recall, we said the wording of the Ketubah way back that that when you're mutar to go and marry somebody else, that's when you get Ketubah. In this situation, Arusa who dies, well, she's dead. She wasn't able to marry somebody else. So therefore, we don't say, oh, she still gets a Ketubah and it goes to her Yorshim. Okay? But if she got married and died, it's a Vaday. That's obvious, Reb Chaim points out, because the husband would Yorish everything anyway. So in other words, Shelo Tomar Yaseh Kemi Shegiresh, we don't say it's as if she was divorced. V'yeh la Ketubah. And she should get a ketubah. Not she gets it, she's dead, but her yorshim should get it. The full kem tzarech lamima ein la ketubah. That's what's necessary to say. So now the Gemara says, "Bereshona haita munachat ketubah." Now, what the Gemara is the reason why it's leading us to discuss this point, the history of sort of what happened with the ketubah, is because the Mishnah said, "Hare lo yamar la yishtah hare ketubah motecha al shulchan." You can't say ketubah sitting on the table. Why dafka the table? You'll see why in a moment. Used to be in the beginning, they used to have the ketubah, I mean the sum of money set aside, the ketubah, already set aside by her father's house, in trust there. However, but it made it too easy for someone to divorce his wife. Because he got angry, there's go home. You know, he'd say, that'd be the end of it. So therefore, the chosen says, no, the ketubah can be set aside, you leave it by the husband's. And the idea was, is that he might take out money, he might, and he might be in debt, he might use the money, maybe more difficult. However, afal picha, it didn't really help. It's still, it was still easy. He says, right, you know, close a cupboard, second shelf from now, take your money and get out of here. Right, like you could be able to do that. So therefore, the next step was metaken, that they would purchase cups, bowls, or precious things, like the silver bowls and things of a high value. And then it might be a little bit more difficult for him to part with these items, so it made it a bit hard to give it. But still, and that's why it says, before we get to the still, the next step, Hadid Tanina, that's where it said in Agamah, Lo Yomar Adam, HaKetubah, Munechet Al HaShulchan. Now you know where the Lashon comes from. Because there was at a time when people would have a Ketubah, and they would put it on the, literally on the table, because it would be, say, precious cups, cutlery, whatever it is. So however, that still didn't work. So Chazbrid Kinu she Adam Nosev Notem B'Kutav Adishto Mitoch she Adam Nosev Notem B'Kutav Adishto V'hi Me'avda Hi Kasher Me'avda Hi Kasher Ben Avle Garsha. So what we're trying to say here is the next step was saying, no, you don't set aside any money. The husband can do any like business with all these things, but then what would happen is his money would get tied up in investments. And she says, and it would be a little bit harder for him to quickly, haphazardly, to divorce his wife, because it's a huge sum of money. The ketubah is enough to support her for a year. And then if he wants to divorce her, it's tied up investments. It'll give him time to, what's it called, unlock his, or free his money. And that slowed things down. And it says, V'hu hitkin Rabbi Shimon bet Shetach. That's where Rabbi Shimon bet Shetach was metakem, sheshlo debrim sheye adam noser v'noten b'ketubat ishto. He was attacking three things. One is she adam nasevatem b'ketubat ishto. One is this idea that he deals with the ketubah, his wife. The second is she atinoket holechet labeit sefer. That was the education system. It's actually the Bavli says it was actually Yoshua ben Gamla who did this, but quite Bavli it sounded like Shimon ben Shetach. Maybe at the same time. Maybe I'm not sure what the difference is here. But the idea was initially what happened is schooling was every parent in a chanuch lenar. You got every parent's chayv to educate his children. Problem was, is not every father was capable of educating his child. So the whole innovation of a centralized schooling system, that came from here. And that way you have a malamed who's responsible, and that way every child could be educated. And the third thing, hutik hiwitkin tumat likli schuchit. Now glass itself, he was metakin that has tuma. Because why? Because glass is made of like sand, and therefore it's similar to Klei Cheres in a sense. Its origins are like similar to Cheres, and Klei Cheres is susceptible to Tumah. It was metakin that they were that Klei Zuchit would become susceptible to Tumah. Now the Gemara says, Lo ken amar Rav Zira, Rav Avu b'shem Rav Yirmiya. That actually it wasn't the case. It was Rav Yossi Yoezer, Yishtreid of Yossi ben Yochanan. Ish Rishalayim del Gazra al Tumat Amim. We'll get to that one in a moment. And al Klei Zuchit. So it predated Shimon ben Shetach, this takana regarding the Klei Zuchit. Did I skip a bit? No. Yes. But what's Tumat Aretz Amim? That's the fact that Chutz Aretz is Tamim because they would bury people all over the place. So Rabbi Yossi, now we mentioned the Zugat, says, Am Rabbi Yossi, Am Rabbi Yehuda ben Bar Tavi, Rabbi Yonah says, Am Rabbi Yehuda ben Tavi, Shimon Shetach, Gazru Klei Matchot, V'hil V'shamay Gazru Al Yadayim. The response that Yehuda ben Tavi and Rishon LeZion though gazra al klei matachot. Now gaze gzera klei matachot is as follows: that if a kli is broken, it was tam, it becomes tahor. Okay. The problem is that, or alternatively, you can take a pig for a toipler. However, if a kli becomes tamet tumat met, it's a 7-day purification process. What would happen though is someone would just simply break their metal kli, and it's not hard to, you know, re-bead it together. They could put a massive hole in it, and then move the you know beat the metal out and repair it. And within a very short amount of time, technically, halachically, that kli is tahor. You have to go through a 7-day purification process. And either people would see a tea that was tamei met yesterday and the next day it is tahor and not understand what's going on. They'll forget the whole concept of paro duma related to kelim. So matakin that if you take a metal kli, you break it and then make and put it together again, chozer tumato, it goes back to its old tuma state. But that's gzeira. Okay, fine. Pardon me. And Hillel Shammai were matakin on the tumat yadaim. It's in Stam Yadayim Yishein L'Tumah, which we've discussed in the past. Secondary Tumah, that's Matame Tumah. So what do we say? So how do we say that, one second, we've got a Takana that was there, but it seemed to be predated. So we say, Rav Yosef Rabun said B'Shem Rav Revi, Kach Hayita Halach B'Yadam. It was original Takana, V'Shachachua, and it was forgotten. V'Amdu Shashnaim, and then the two people later on, came v'iskimu al dat rishonim, and they end up metaken that which was originally metaken prior to that. Lam decha, to teach you, kol devash beitin not nima adnav shama lav. This is, we've seen this concept before. Anytime beitin put their heart and soul into something, into metaken something, sof hu shuhu mitkayem be'adam. It will be, according to the Korbaneri writes, shelo yitbatul divrehem v'lo t'yeh takala li'adam. It will not, it'll stand, and there will be no takala, and no fault that comes as a result of it. Meaning, even though it was forgotten, it was resurrected, if you like, because they had none of the Shabbat, as if it was given over to Moshe B'Sinai. But Atikaman Da'amar, it's like we said, Rav Man, so Da'amar, so Damar Rav Mana, like Rav Mana says, Kilo Davak Rek Humikem, when it comes to the Torah, it's not empty from you. What does it mean, empty? Rek Humikem, Kiu Chayechem. So how do you answer the Pasuk? Ev Imu Rek, if you find it empty, that's because Humikem, it's from you. Because you didn't put a lot of effort into trying understanding it, and it says Kiu Chayechem, when is your life? That is B'Shat Shata Yigimba. That's when you put effort and exertion into it. Okay, with that we say Hadaralach Perki Shachnaflu, Hadranalach Perki Shachnaflu, Hadaralach Perki Shachnaflu. In the midst of Shem, we will begin the next Perik Chi next year. All right, Kol Tov. Have a good day, everyone.